Welcome to the Yak Sports Podcast with Joe Deck and Leland McRae.
Well, Leland, good news. We didn't record last night, and so there's some developments that we'll get to later that have made this, you know, something that we can actually get through without me having to edit it and put it out on Thursday by the time I'm done editing it. So let's start local, though. Baseball has been interesting. We're seeing some of these teams that we thought were going to coast kind of keep rolling. But, you know, the crazy part for Wilson is what we have touched on in our fears with baseball. They beat up the Shenandoah District. They go outside the Shenandoah District, and there's trouble. That's not good for their hopes of advancing deeper into postseason play. On the flip side for Riverheads, great week.
Yeah. They had the good week, and that the win against Central was kind of that outside of the district thing that we're talking about there, and a 5-0 win over Central. So that's a solid win. Riverhead's looking positive about themselves. I think they're trying to, you know, build it up this year to be able to make it the run there. And I think they're in play for the district. The Wilson, their one district loss to Wilson being a 9-inning scoreless game. So, like, it was anybody's game. Back to Wilson, though, like, yeah, they beat up on Waynesboro, who's not at the bottom of the standings. Buffalo Gap, who's not all the way at the bottom of the standings. So they separated themselves kind of from that next tier down. I think it's a Riverheads-Wilson race here. But then, yeah, when they go to play Broadway and Allegheny, they lose. They're leading Allegheny on Monday night and then give it away in the sixth. So that's concerning that they're losing to pretty much every 3C team they play, and I don't even think those are the teams that are going to win 3C. So, like, it's just, you know, you want to set yourself up to be the strongest of the non-LCA. You know, you want to be the baddest of the bunch, and they're not proven to be that at this point. They're going to run out of opportunities to try. The biggest concerning thing for Wilson is that as of Friday, they released 3C rankings, or someone compiled them. Someone did what I do in football, but for baseball. And none of our teams were in the top eight. We're going to be scratching for playoff spots. And that means in 3C between Wilson and Waynesboro, I don't think both are going to get in. And then, you know, you're going to have to go to the LCA or the number two team right off the bat. And that's going to be tough. So just it's not laying out for the postseason that we all want from baseball. The postseason that I'll never stop talking about that we got cheated out of 2020. But there's still bragging rights from around here and winning the Shenandoah District. And, you know, there is some pride in that. I know these teams have won state championships and gone deep. And so they look beyond that. But winning the Shenandoah District, I think that'll be an interesting race. I do think we're starting to focus on that with baseball of, you know, what are we going to get out of Shenandoah District season? Fort Defiance continues to be that team that is just not as good as I thought they were going to be. Yeah. So I want to watch that and see if that develops as well. If they kind of turn that around. 2B, I'd love some rankings to tell our listeners about, but I haven't seen them. I know Riverheads is going to be sitting in an okay position there, but I also want to see who in that bull run that's looking good. So things to watch for there. The big game this week is the Riverheads versus Waynesboro. Waynesboro coming to Greenville Tuesday night on the 16th. Basically, all the big games in high school play seem to be on Tuesday night this week. But, yeah, Waynesboro, who's sitting at 3 right now, coming to number 2, Riverheads. And I want to see if that separation that I talked about between Wilson and that second tier is true between Riverheads and what we're calling that second tier right now.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, like, even if Wilson – you say Wilson and Waynesboro, you don't think both get in. It's possible that neither get in. Which is the
it is very possible. Is yeah, the absolutely.
Scary part for the Shenandoah District. And it goes on. And people might think we're just being negative to be negative and like, oh, all you guys
that's
do is
ratings.
Say all you guys do is say our teams aren't good enough to go deep in the postseason. All our teams aren't good enough to go in the postseason. Well, I mean, look, it's the sad truth. Like, our worry was the Shenandoah District in football outside of Riverheads was kind of a couple of average teams beating up on each other, and that kind of proved to be the case. In basketball, our fear was the same thing. It kind of proved to be the case outside of Buffalo Gap Girls. And then here in baseball, it might be the case, period. And that's the worrying part. I haven't seen what you, and you touched on it. It's every time Wilson goes and plays a 3C team, they lose. That's where those PowerPoints that you get into the postseason, that's where those come from. They don't come from beating up the teams in the Shenandoah District that also struggle out of district. That you're not getting help there. So that's the worrying part there. For Riverheads, yes, they're going to be in an okay position, but still, they're going to need to have a really strong back half of the season for me to believe that when they get into 2B, that's a realistic goal for them to at least get into that region championship and advance to a state tournament.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. Wilson, their one win out of district is against TA, a nice 9-1 win. Great. But, you know, getting swept by Spotswood, getting swept by Broadway, those are teams you want to be beaten if you're playing in June.
Yeah. And right now, it's not been enough. One win is not enough outside the district.
It is not. You need multiple, not one.
So in softball, Stewart's draft, I mean, in terms of district play, they're off to a great start. You wonder, same with them, when they have this good district season and you look at their out-of-district schedule and it's a little rough, you're like, okay, are we having a similar thing in softball this year, which is not something we're used to. We're used to softball in this district being really, really good, but it just doesn't seem to be that this year.
Yeah, and draft's one of those teams we predicted to be one of the better teams. So this is where you're like, okay, good. Like, the team we think is going to be on top is. But, you know, their losses to Page County, who's a good softball program, but not really close in those games. That's what's going to concern you. They split with Central Woodstock. They got trounced one game and then edged them out another game. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you want to see be different. They lost to Buckingham County. That's the weird 2B team, you know, not the Bull Run District team. So, you know, on the far outlook, yeah, we keep saying it. The Diamond Swords, I just don't think are going to produce state championships this year. Buffalo Gap is the Class 1 team that we think they can get dumped into the Class 1 and make a run. It's possible. Their record has improved here. They finally got some games in. It is the biggest deal here. But I'm not looking at that resume and thinking, okay, that's just proven that they're going to rise up. We'll give them some time here. You know, Logan Duncombe there at Fort Defiance picking up that program. They had some early losses, but I think you can start to see what you want to see there. I don't think they're destined for a deep run, but I do think they're putting the building blocks in there with a young team there. But I think those are the three teams we're talking about in softball. And each one of those added different, or, you know, excuse me, Stewart's Draft and Fort are the same now. I guess still, it's been a whole year and I've still been messing that up. But yeah, Fort Defiance and Draft still going to be going in that 2B. I would assume they're going to be in that tournament and have their opportunities. Outside of that, I'm worried. You know, I don't see Riverheads being very strong this year. They were struggling to get girls out. Wilson's down these last couple of years. They got the new coach this year with Emily Bird, so hopefully they'll rise up. But it's just not smelling great. And here another 2-3 matchup, you know, in the district happening this week on Tuesday. Buffalo Gap going to Fort Defiance. That's a great Shenandoah district matchup. And, you know, what does that prove? We'll talk about that next week. But I am excited about seeing what comes out of that one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Soccer is different. On the boys' side, I think Stanton is the best shot at the team going deep. They've looked pretty solid this year so far. And I Ford has been pretty good. I do think Stanton probably will be fine against them. And then you're looking at Wilson. And they play both this week, so we'll see. But
yeah, it's a big week for Stanton.
I think for Stanton, win those two games, and they're fine. The defense for Stanton has been great.
Yeah, shutting people out. I mean, they had one pretty terrible game against Charlottesville. But outside of that, haven't given up any goals. And so beating teams, doing a great job. Mm-hmm. I guess they had the 1-0-0 tie. Doing a great job. This is the week for them with the Shenandoah District. This tells them
they could lock it up
if they're standing way ahead of everybody, or if Fort and Wilson are hanging around them. I tend to think they're pushed ahead of those teams. I think Wilson has taken that step back from being that main comparison to Stanton. Fort Defiance has kind of risen to this point. It's been a little bit since their boys have, you know, come, you know, middle of April, still been part of the discussion here. Let's see if they stay in it this week. So big opportunities for those two teams to knock off a big boy Stanton, but also, you know, opportunity for Stanton just to establish themselves as the top tier on their own.
On the girls' side, it's a little bit different. Wilson appears to be
that on their own in the girls.
Yeah, they appear to be the dominant team. They had a 2-0 win against Waynesboro, which was big for them because that's a team that beat them last year. It made things really interesting. There's still the other match with Waynesboro that could be interesting, but the good news on what you're seeing from the Wilson girls is they're not only winning the games in the district, but they're then going out of district and having that success that we're not seeing in some of the other sports for our teams, which is good news. And I think, you know, I'm curious to see what Stewart's Draft does in that regard with 2B, because out of district, you know, just two matches, but they were two wins. In district is where they've gotten both of their losses, and you kind of understand that the way the top half, which is, 3C heavy, is gonna lean that way.
Yeah, and with Stewart's Draft too, with a new coach, that's a program that was running pretty well already. So picking it up and keeping it going is gonna be important there. And you know, early indications are that. So that's a good start to their season. And that's the different classifications. In both boys and girls, I don't think we're gonna get any much out of the bottom here. We see Stewart's Draft on the boys' side, Gap on the boys' side, Riverheads on the boys' side, they're not gonna do much. And then on the girls' side, particularly Riverheads and Buffalo Gap, I just don't see much coming out of them. Buffalo Gap and both soccer programs aren't even having enough to – they're scratching for enough players. I believe in the boys, they're not even playing a Shannon DeWitt district season. They only have a couple games scheduled. They show in a girls team on here, but it looks like it's just a district season. So they're battling with numbers out there. Hopefully they can get that picked up.
Yeah, hopefully. But – other big news in the Shenandoah District was the head coach for Waynesboro Volleyball, Lori Alshire, stepping down, just saying that it was time for her to, you know, move on and pursue other things. I believe I did not see anything in here to indicate that she is stepping away from her teaching duties at Waynesboro or the assistant AD position that, which I guess she's, you know, that is the job there now for her as the assistant AD. It's a big blow to that volleyball program because she had been such a mainstay, you know, since 2007. I do know there's some people there on the staff that have been there for a very long time. Wouldn't be surprised to see Diggs get that job. But we'll see how that search pans out. And then of course, Waynesboro is still looking for a football coach as well. So,
that's their two fall sports. They're, yeah. They're looking for head coaches.
They're coming quick. That was news that was kind of surprising, coming out last week, but, wish Coach Alshire the best, outside of the game. And, because I know she's been great for that program and for that school and has been a huge impact in a lot of girls' lives at Waynesboro.
Yeah. And put in a lot of years. So you don't blame her for, you know, taking some time here. And it was funny. I was talking to our number one podcast fan today. We're talking about, you know, Terrell taking off now. And I just kind of, because he says it too. So I'll be quick to say this publicly. I see he's going to be back coaching at some point. Like he's taking the time now. And I think this is so smart. You get these coaches that, you know, coach through their kids growing up and all that. And then they're burnt out. And I think this is going to save Terrell Mickens from burning out someday that we've seen in other coaching. Not putting that on this situation at Waynesboro directly at all, but just saying, like, I think it's really smart of him to do this at the right time. So then when he comes back, he's not going to be getting pulled the five different directions at that time. So, I think we might see more of that. And maybe this will be a good example of that being successful. Every school is always looking for a lot of coaches.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll let you talk about the golf. I didn't watch a ton of it. And actually I'm mad at the people who put it on. So you go ahead.
Well, their broadcasting during the golf time was as good as it usually is. And in its first class program and sports program, the funny thing about the Masters is, and I'm gonna swing back around to this, but the Masters has the control of CBS there. Like, they really control the message, and we don't always like that. And there's instances here where I don't think it's awesome. But up front here, Scheffler wins his second in 3 years. So he's really on a good run here. You know, that starts knocking on doors of like, okay, how great is he going to be? And, you know, we've been through this. We've been through this with Rory and Spieth and some other guys, you know, when Dustin Johnson finally got there, Bubba Watson was dancing around. Like, you know, what are these people going to end up being? And you see those flames kind of calm back down after they do some kind of run similar to this, maybe not matching this, but similar to this. So if he's able to keep this up, he's going to, you know, quickly rise up the ranks of all-time golfers. He's already, you know, put himself on the map. You know, winning the Masters is winning the biggest golf tournament of any given year. And to win it twice puts you in elite company. So good for him. I'm not a huge Scheffler like fan. I have nothing against him. But I think I hear a lot of other people say that too, because he's just not that flashy golfer. He wins. He's kind of the tortoise in these things. He just doesn't go out there and take the dangerous shot that he then has to, you know, forces himself to get two eagles down the stretch to be able to be back in the contention. That we've seen from Tiger and some other great golfers. And that's fun to watch. And it doesn't make them less good. Him being kind of conservative doesn't make him less good either. It makes him very consistent. It is a quieter way to go about things, especially on a Sunday at a Masters, when he can just sit there, play his golf, get his birdie there, get that good par where you have to have it, another birdie. And now all of a sudden he's four strokes up, where starting the back nine, he's tied. So he did a great job. That's what you want. These guys don't care how they win. They just want to win. So all the credit to them. I will tell you, the chunk of my watching, though, was watching the featured group Sunday morning with Tiger and Shipley, the guy that already got a degree from JMU. Now he's at Ohio State with getting grad or a second grad degree. And he was the high amateur. He was the only one that made the weekend. And so for 4 hours, I'm watching Tiger and a guy that played at JMU. It's like my dream feature matchup for not being somebody in contention. And I watched every shot. I watched both those guys every shot. And it was fun. And I really liked watching Shipley. I liked all the credit JMU got and Ohio State. And, you know, for him to play big in that role, I mean, he finished even on the day, I believe. Tiger didn't. He outplayed Tiger on a Sunday in Augusta. Wow. And only at one point would I say what I saw was nervousness, and that was on the second green putting, and it was just one of those knee knocker putts. Outside of that, everything else seemed good. He kind of did mess up another hole, but it didn't look like nerves. It was the same hole Tiger was messing up. It was one of the hardest holes on the course. So, like, I understood that. But it was a lot of fun to watch him, and it was good.
All right.
You know, so the only other comment, I wasn't sure if you'd have something on that. No. Vern Lundquist, I assume you'll have something for him. He's an all-time broadcaster, big history with NBA, big history with college football. A couple years ago, he stopped doing the CBS games on football. So now this was his turn to have his last call at the Masters, his 40th time doing it. A lot of little four-minute clips I watched on my phone this weekend, and CBS had a couple. He had some of the bigger calls in golf history, especially at the Masters, between Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. And, you know, that most famous shot, I think, in golf, with Tiger Woods chipping it out of the sand on 16, hitting it above the hole, and then it rolling all the way back and just stopping right on the lip for a second and then falls in. The voice you hear call that is Vern Lundquist. And I think most people know that. So it was his last. A lot of people were honoring him. Even Tiger, during the match, during his play, after he finished 16, went over there and shook his hand. And so I think that says a lot. And, you know, he has all the right things to say, and giving the credit to the performances there, and not really shining a big light on himself, but he deserves a big light on him. So this is me making me feel old, is all these guys, like, it's his 40th calling. So, you know, that illustrious career of calling golf, Masters golf, oh, wait a minute, that's my entire life that he just did that. So that makes me feel real old. And, you know, one of the biggest calls he ever had with Tiger there was about halfway through it. Yeah, I was in college watching golf when that happened. So that made me feel old. But I don't know. Another reason to celebrate Vern Lundquist. Never a bad time there.
Yeah, I mean, I love Vern Lundquist, the broadcaster. I never watched a ton of Masters that he did because I just never watch a ton of golf on TV. But in terms of his college football and college basketball and all the other sports he was calling, like, he's a great broadcaster. He's one of the all-time greats. He's up there with, you know, you look at Al Michaels, you look at Vin Scully for baseball, and Howard Cosell on football, and all these, you know, all-time greats. He's up there with them. And
all those guys are play-by-play. Keith Jackson, I guess not, but yeah. But the other ones, the play-by-play. Yeah. That's your chair.
Yeah, those are the ones I think of first. Yeah. But Al, and you know, Jim Nance is another guy who's right there. And he's stepping away from a lot of stuff now too, which is
he's narrowed his schedule. I mean, golf is one of his main things, and football and golf.
And football, and I guess that's the two biggest paychecks, so I get it.
I understood it for Nance. I mean, coming, you caught up the national championship game on Monday night, and you're getting to the Masters maybe Tuesday.
The Masters was a little after the Masters was a little bit of a break, but football, basketball.
Yeah.
Masters. Like that.
I mean, he calls golf all summer too. So like, yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It can wear on you. So I get it. But yeah, I mean, these are some of the all time greats, and I'm sure he was great at golf too. Like I said, I never watched a ton of it. Like, you're talking about this Tiger shot. I know the shot, but I don't know the call, because I always see it on mute, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, his big thing is like, in your life, have you ever, like, and that's a lot of, I mean, you just did. I guess if you're not watching it, you're not seeing it, but that's what's related to that. And he had the call for Nicholas as well. So yeah, when your call gets start putting on t-shirts below athletes, like, you know, you've had the big impact there, and that's what he had.
Yeah. I guess we're done with the brackets now.
We are. I should have announced this a week ago. We had our bracket winners and our men's bracket. We had Leighton Pullen. Leighton, we emailed you if you're listening. So we'll try to get him on. He won with 138. As for Joe and I, Joe finished 11th at 104 and me at 13th at 102. So we were close with each other there. I think we all had Connecticut. I think that helped prop us up there a little bit. I think we were lower than that before.
Yeah.
on the women's side, TJ Hughes, and I went back and forth with him in some texts. He won with 164. I was third with 151. Joe, you're back at seventh with 138. So good picking this year. I'm glad we got two people that aren't us winning these things. So we'll try to get both of those guys on. I think we're probably looking ahead at May, just with some of the schedule ahead of us here. We'll try to get those guys on. We can talk about whatever sports they want to. I know my niece, she is just every year filling out brackets trying to win. This year she had UCLA was, I think, her big pick. And when they went down, she just started cursing everybody ahead of her. And I was like, dear, you don't even know who Chris Lassiter is. You don't have to be mean about him. Chris Lassiter is delightful. I don't know why we need to be mean about him. But yeah, she was just looking at every bracket that had passed her in that moment. And she was mad. So now she can be mad at TJ, and that'll be fine. TJ's also delightful, but
we just need to teach her the art.
This is where the hate needs to be centralized.
Yeah. You just got to teach her the art of, like, we no longer recognize these places.
Yeah.
Like, to her, she was the city of Los Angeles. I don't know what that is. I've never heard of it. I don't know what that is.
She was doing this to the people passing her in the bracket, and I was like, you're getting rid of a lot of good people here, babe. We need to redirect here. So sticking with the women's game there, WNBA draft was tonight on right before we were recording. I was out there watching it, watched a lot of the early picks, Caitlin Clark going to Indiana. We all knew that was going to happen. I'll retweet it. The owner of the Indiana Fever was quite the character. I swear she must be from Augusta County. She sounded like any lady you would talk to about basketball in the county. And she was excited that their team was able to draft Caitlin Clark. She talked about falling off of her couch the night that Caitlin declared. So it was just a nice little clip of local reporters interviewing them there. And big crowd. That was the first year they ever sold tickets for the draft, and it was sold out. They had the Indiana basketball arena with a bunch of people in there excited about Caitlin Clark coming. So it's a big push right now for the WNBA, and great. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to say it's getting to me. My kids sat there and watched two rounds of a draft. They've never done that for any other sport. So this push is working. The college game is feeding the WNBA very well right now with popularity. So hopefully that's able to take off. Interesting other players, Cardoza and Reese, the two tall players when South Carolina and LSU played this year, the two tall ones, they both go to Chicago. So that team's about to have some towers of their own there. And then Kitley from Virginia Tech. She's got to sit out this year with her ACL injury, but she goes to Las Vegas. She'll get to watch a year. That's a very good team there in Las Vegas, not far off from winning championships. So she'll be on that roster, and that's going to be great. So a lot of the stuff to be excited about there coming out of the draft.
Yeah, it was an interesting draft. I said it last week, and I hope it is the case, because I think this particular draft class had a lot invested in it, right? Like between Caitlin Clark, obviously, the player that everybody's talking about, but then you have Cardoza and Reese who have been prominent on the national stage and having a lot of success. And now you have that Reese and Caitlin Clark rivalry. You have a lot of the WNBA players kind of fueling and trying to start a rivalry with Caitlin Clark before she even gets there. So I'm hoping that this does keep that sustained success with the WNBA, and it can kind of start to take off on its own, which would be great for the game.
Yeah, a lot of other recognizable faces with the Brink girl from Stanford going number two, the girl from Ohio State, that guard that always had that big shoulder thing, like a lot of recognizable faces throughout particularly the first round, where the NBA, you get these guys that are one and done and it doesn't feel as recognizable even, like the biggest star or two. And then you get all these foreign-born players that you will get to know in the NBA and you'll like them, but you just don't know them on draft night. This was a very interesting draft. My kids were acknowledging like, oh yeah, we saw them play in the tournament. It's kind of cool to see the natural movement that's happening. Sure, I cut the TV on. I'm a part of pushing this in front of them, but they're taken to it, and that excites me.
The other thing that the WNBA will try to cash in on is the fact that this season is going to start soon. Like that schedule in the NBA's does not overlap at all. It's going to be real soon. So in about a month,
and they did release before the draft, they released the national TV schedule, and there's a lot of good games, and like every Indiana Fever, the worst team in the league getting like top billing on TV, 'cause they knew they'd have Caitlin Clark. So, at least they're smart.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball would do that.
No, Major League Baseball would black it out to grow the game. Kentucky finally gets a coach. That took longer than expected, though.
Yeah, it's a couple days.
But there were some people that they were like talking to, and then those coaches came out and said, we're not interested. Like,
I guess the BYU or the Baylor coach was the main Baylor one that coach. Said no.
Dan Hurley said no. Like,
well, he was saying no as he was winning the national championship.
But like
for a
program that says we're a blue blood, we can get whoever we want, to be told no twice.
Yeah.
Like that's
the Baylor ones was a bigger sting.
Oh yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. But
because they were flying him in, in his family, all that. They did the whole thing, and he said no.
Yeah. Maybe Tyson.
But they get an alum, and he's out of BYU. He had success there.
I'm not going to lie.
He's going to have all the resources in the world now.
I don't think this is true at all, but I would love it if it was that the owner of Tyson Chicken paid for the guy to stay at Baylor. In addition to taking their coach. Pays to take the guy they want.
I doubt that's true.
Oh, it's 100% not true, but I just want it to be true.
Yeah. They get their own oil money. I assume he got a raise down there out of this. I mean, there's a lot of money in Baylor. I said BYU. There's a lot of money down in Baylor. That's the only reason that place still exists after all that they've been through, is people trying to pump in the money after they get rid of who's to blame for some of the stuff that's happened. Not all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be funny if that was the case. That'd be really funny.
Why don't you go?
I had a great weekend. I think Friday night when you texted me like the fourth meme that I hadn't responded to and you're finally like, you're just ignoring me. I was packing to go to Virginia Tech for the spring game. I had multiple coolers, whole boards, chairs, everything ready to go. Printing off maps of campus. I'll talk about that more of that in a second. I was just getting ready. And so all that work paid off because we had a lovely day in Blacksburg. Now, the wind was for real in Blacksburg. They said you couldn't bring tents. Thank goodness they did that because we probably would have lost some people. I was sitting on tables at one point to make sure they didn't blow away. And at one point, I still didn't think that was going to work. And anybody that knows me knows that had to be one big gust of wind if I thought I was going to get blown off the ground. So, we still made a good time out of the tailgate. Sometimes you just have to lay the food in the back of a van and make your sandwich instead of on a table. So, it was a good time. But we got into the game, took my whole family. Our friend's family, Steve, he's been on the podcast, his whole family, Wendy, who has been on the podcast. She won the women's bracket a year ago. We always tailgate with her when we're in Blacksburg. So they were there. So Wendy Hullbull, Ball Hull. I do that all the time. I reverse those. So we had a great time. They know what they're doing inside that spring game and it's gotten better and better. It's a party in there with the stadium atmosphere that they have during the regular season. Spring game, I think it's even more songs and more stuff. It's a relaxed environment, which is fun. I think they just put a feeler out to every former player and said, please come. And it felt like there was more former players there than usual. I think that makes sense with some of the increased excitement surrounding the team that we haven't seen for a stretch of time here. They also did something new where at halftime or right before the game, they introduced every early freshman signee. So all those guys that signed in January and then came to school immediately or in December and then came to school in January, they lined them up and introduced them right in front of all the recruits that they're trying to get to commit. So I thought that was really smart. But they're playing the music. Kids are having a blast. They announced during the game that they're retiring Kitley's number for women's basketball, which has been a push on social media, absolutely deserved. She had a personal message on the video board. She's in New York getting ready for the draft 2 days later. They also introduced new coach Megan Duffy, which was a big hit. And she really got to hear the roar of the crowd there. I know they had her at the softball game as well. And then the play on the field, I saw a lot of good things. Now I was distracted. I'm with my family there. I got one kid getting on the video board, all the kids getting on the video board multiple times. One kid, particularly 14 times, she got on the video board. The camera loved her. I'm distracted. But what I saw from play looked pretty good. I saw some good defensive plays, but the offensive plays do stick out. Perilou at running back was tearing it up. He was getting to the edge and then missing people. So we had defenders coming at the right spot, and he was very shifty. I really liked what we saw out of him to be added to that backfield with Malachi Thomas. Drones didn't play a bunch, but he looked good from what I saw, and I think he had a touchdown pass. You know, good stuff. Something I didn't like, and you're not going to like this either. They were experimenting, I was told, because I do have inside sources here. They put a mic in the band and played it over the system. It was terrible. So whoever from Virginia Tech is listening to this that would care, scratch it. It's not good. We don't need that. Our band is big. It plays loud. It's loud without the mic. We don't need something to make it louder. Only bad things will come from that. Plus, it sounded terrible. It was just I think the mic were near the drums. The drums sounded the best, but then you're picking up. Nothing's lined up in time, and then you're picking up the video board behind them where the big speakers are. You're getting it all twice. It wasn't good. They need to scratch it. I know you're playing with it. You're adjusting. You're seeing. We saw. Stop it. No more of that. We don't need that.
Well, I imagine that gets tested at a spring game, so it doesn't happen during the fall.
I'm not taking that. If that's the last we hear of that,
It's okay to not play the PA system while the band's playing. It's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Our band's loud. It's loud without.
I've never been at a Virginia Tech game and thought I can't hear the band.
We don't have to hammer on what football games you have been at where you can't hear the band.
Yeah.
You're gonna hit close to home here. I don't like that. But I just talked about Virginia Tech football and everything that I did, and I still haven't got to what I'm most proud of. My daughter ran the 3.2 mile in remembrance of the victims of April 16th at Virginia Tech. And that's a tough topic for me. That's why I'm stuttering over my words. I was so proud that she wanted to run it. Me and her had a little walk to the front of Burris Hall and then around the memorial before they got racing. And we talked about it. And she already knew the basics of stuff, but we just talked about stuff. And she hadn't heard a lot of my proximity and stuff stories because I just don't talk about it a lot. So we had that discussion. But then she ran, and she ran 3.2 miles in about 30 minutes. And like it was nothing. And I just couldn't have been more proud of her. She just handled it like a pro. I got to be with her during the football stadium segment. I ran through with her, took pictures of her, video of her touching the Hokie Stone. It was awesome. Took video of her slapping all the players' hands. Coach Price hit her on the hat because she stuck out with her bright green hat that we gave her so we could see her from far distance. And then we got a good picture of her with the whole stadium behind her. So that was awesome. The biggest problem with this was the race started on one side of campus, and it's a big circle around the whole campus. I cut directly down the middle to get to the stadium in time and barely caught her there. And then she goes out the backside of the stadium, and I did not catch her at the end. If anybody has seen the video that I posted or that was posted, I don't know who's posted it. I thought it was maybe I haven't even posted it, but there's a video of her crossing the finish line. It's a reenactment. I'll tell you that right now. Cause we didn't make it in time. We couldn't do the diameter of this race as fast as she did the whole thing. So I was really proud of her on that. And, she handled it like a pro. And so, I think we're going to start planning our cross country watching here for high school, because she seems to be able to handle the running really easily. Now she needs to learn how to push herself and get even better. And I don't know if I'm the one to teach her to do that, but yeah, she's quite the runner, and I was really, really, really proud of her.
That's awesome. I'm seeing your second topic too. Do you just want to go ahead? I don't know if that's one we end on.
You can't come up with something happy in the fourth spot.
You know what? I'll come up with something. I do have something else for the fourth spot.
Okay, so then go ahead.
So in addition to the Masters, which ran late, which I wasn't even that upset because I knew it was going to run late because it runs late every year. It's the Masters. It happens every year. I expected that. What I didn't expect was that 60 minutes, which starts 30 minutes late because of that and runs over, that I wasn't expecting that we needed a new episode of Tracker. I don't know why we needed
a new episode of Tracker.
Well, apparently 60 million people fall asleep watching football in the Masters, so it becomes the number one rated show in America, according to CBS. 60 million TVs being on while people are sleeping is astounding to me, because I don't even think the people who are in that show watch that show. That show sucks. I watched 10 minutes of it to realize, oh, Billy Joel's not going to start here. It's going to be later. And that was 10 of the most painful minutes of my life. That sucked. That was terrible. That show's terrible. Here's the problem. So then we get to 9:30, and it's still not starting at 9:30. It starts at 9:32. And it starts at 9:32 because we end the episode, and then, you know, stay tuned for scenes from the next episode of Tracker. How about no? How about we cut that part? Okay, we don't. Okay, so we're starting at 9:32. Okay, knowing that at 11:30, we're going to have a problem. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but I do now. For people unfamiliar, it used to be that each local affiliate had a switcher. You would either stick with the national feed or you would switch to the local feed, and then your local coverage would start if your local coverage needed to come in with something. That's how it would work. But in today's day and age of giant media companies buying up everything, that has disappeared, and they are now becoming regional or even very regional in terms of, like, the time zone. So what happens, and honestly, it might all be national now at CBS. I don't know. But the concert runs up. I'm enjoying the song interludes of the two-hour infomercial that I'm watching for CBS and Wells Fargo during this concert that is the 100th Madison Square Garden concert that Billy Joel's done. The songs are great. He's doing a great job performing them. Sting comes out and sings 52nd Street, which was a bit of a surprise because I didn't have that song being something that was going to make the concert special. Because I know this, right? They're saying it's live. It's not live. They taped all that live. The performance was live at a point, but it was live in March. And we put this on here, which is fine. And when they said that, I was like, okay, we're not going to see the whole concert. I know this. I understand I'm going to have to deal with some commercials. I didn't understand I was going to have to deal with an hour's worth of commercials. That seemed excessive. But we're going through that, and we get to Piano Man at the end. And I texted you some of my complaints about the commercials once it got, like, ridiculous, where it would be like, song, four commercials. Song, four commercials.
I feel like I got all of them, but okay.
I started to get pissed.
Yes, you did.
And I was texting you, and I was getting angry, and we get to the last song. We did not get all the songs, by the way. The set list has been released. That's all the songs were not in that. But
like this is we.
We, America, did not get that. Yeah.
The Billy Joel fandom did not.
We get to Piano Man, and Piano Man is starting. And you know what, Leland? All the anger that I had melted. I was like, you know what? This is awesome. This is my favorite part of every Billy Joel show I've ever been to. My favorite part is when they do Piano Man and the crowd is singing along and Billy's playing, and there are parts where he stops singing and just the crowd singing, and it's really awesome. We get ready to go into that moment through the last chorus where he stops singing and the crowd sings, and we cut to local news because one of the 500 commercial breaks that we had during the two-hour stretch, somebody at CBS couldn't have been like, oh, poop, we're going to hit a snafu here. Let me take out one 2.5-minute commercial break. Couldn't do that. That would have made too much sense. So we get all the commercials in, and then Piano Man gets cut off in the middle of Piano Man. And that was the last straw. That sent me. I texted you. My mom was awake. I called her. We had a very animated...
Wake your neighbors.
Yeah, we had a very animated phone conversation. I was like, look, I don't know. Maybe it's time for another revolution. Like, maybe that's where we are. Like, CBS has to... Someone needs to be held responsible. Someone needs to be in prison. And... So everybody is angry. And here's the lesson, kids. Bullying works. Because lots of Billy Joel fans got on social media and were very angry. And a lot of CBS affiliates got a lot of phone calls. And here's the thing. Here's how I knew WHSV had nothing to do with it, Leland. Because the host looked as shocked as I was when it started. She sat there with a surprised look and was like, our lead story. And I was like, yeah, what the lead story is, someone needs to be in prison right now. That's the lead story. Who are we jailing? Who did this? And so, yeah, I was very angry. Today, around the afternoon, CBS announces it was a technical glitch. It was our fault. You know, oops, sorry. We apologize to Mr. Joel and his fans. Due to the significant feedback online from people that were watching, we have decided to re-air it at 5 we have decided to re-air it at 9 p.m. on Friday in its entirety. Now, what that means is everything you saw the first time is going to be on there again. And just this time, hopefully they don't cut Piano Man off at the end.
Yeah, hopefully they learned their lessons.
Honestly, what I would really love for them to do when they say in its entirety, all right, you got your commercials out of it the first time. Here's an idea, CBS. When you decide to do this kind of thing, have a giant corporate sponsor buy up all the ad time and say,
like the Masters,
brought to you in with limited commercial interruption,
like the Masters,
by Coca-Cola or whomever.
AT&T is one of the big ones there at the Masters.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you want, while the concert's going on, you can put their stupid logo down there in the bottom right corner. I don't care. Just have the thing still going and me listen to the music. That's a great idea. Because you're supposed to be showing this concert, not Wells Fargo or Elsbeth or whatever the hell your next dumb show idea is. Ghosts? I could care less. I can't believe that show is still on. Young Sheldon, I thought, was ended 2 years ago.
It ends like this next month.
Yeah, not soon enough. Let me tell you, anyone who likes that show, I have less respect for them. I don't like that show, and now they've gone too far. They've gone too far. Yes, they're redoing it, and there's a chance that my genie third wish is for world peace and not for the executives at CBS to be penniless and homeless.
Did you try to contact Joseph Iannallo, the head of CBS?
No, I didn't. I figured my call wouldn't get through.
How about Luis Moonves? I mean, Les Moonves. He hasn't been there since 2018.
What a great idea that would have been to call Les Moonves. That would have been great. Listen here, Les. We got to do something.
The only reason I know him is because Dave Letterman used to pick on him all the time.
Yeah. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. And during the thing, I'm texting you. I'm like, every time I watch CBS, I'm reminded why I don't watch CBS if it's not for live sports or for Billy Joel.
I don't either. You've brought this argument up to me. I watch NFL football and then college basketball.
And it's the same thing for Fox, right? It's the same thing for Fox. When I'm watching a game on Fox and they're like, don't forget to tune in to 911. I'm like, pass.
Yeah, I'm not for that show. I will say there at least has been shows in the past on Fox that I've watched. There was a time where I watched some 24.
No.
There was some of those 30 minute stuff in college that we watched that were funny. But CBS, I can't recall ever being
occasionally
gonna tune into CBS to watch the show. I can't remember. Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond. Watching it with my parents when I was in high school, maybe.
I think Survivor was the last thing I watched on CBS.
My parents watch that. I don't.
I don't watch it anymore, but back when that was new.
I watched like one season because
it was the
rage. I went home during summer and they sucked me into it.
Yeah, it was the rage. For those first few years, I watched it, but then I quickly checked out. Like when we started to get into Survivor All-Stars, it was like, okay, if you're out of ideas, I'm out of ideas.
It's Amazing Race, Phyllis. It's Amazing Race.
Yeah. But... I
think I watched the first season of that.
I haven't. Occasionally, I'll watch
like
whatever
2002 when I watched it.
The Gordon Ramsay like cooking show competition thing that's on Fox. I'll watch Next Level Chef or whatever it's called. Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, we watched the Lego show on Fox. The kids liked it. It wasn't very good, but they liked it.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch that. But yeah, like NBC's another one. NBC's another one. Like. Tune in to watch, you know, whatever goofball shows on NBC. I can't even name a show on NBC outside of Law and Order.
So what I don't like that you're doing is that, like, I think it stands out how much CBS, like.
Oh, CBS stands alone. Let me say this. Yeah. CBS stands alone.
You're drawing other networks in. You shouldn't. CBS does stand alone, and the programming that I am just not interested. It seems like they're going for a demographic that I don't believe I'm in yet. Maybe my body feels like I'm there, as I can't walk across campus in 15 minutes. But I do think CBS is worse than these other networks with stuff I never, ever want to know about. Like, I don't need to see The Neighborhood with the guy from New Girl and Cedric the Entertainer. Like, that show still exists. I can't believe
I didn't
that.
Know that show would ever existed. But, like,
yeah,
100 different versions of NCIS.
Oh, it's been on 6-7 years.
There's now, like, multiple versions of FBI. Like, it's just, I will never be in the demographic.
Well, they have all the NCIS-esses.
That's what I'm saying. It's NCIS, it's FBI, it's Ghosts, it's Young Sheldon, it's something new called Elsbeth.
Man, you've really, like, taken in the...
well, I yeah. saw 1,000 commercials for them during yes. this two-hour concert that
season
I was allegedly
six of the neighborhood.
Watching.
I was right. Six
you
seasons
spend,
of that terrible show
you
been
spend
on.
A month advertising this thing to cut it short because you gotta advertise all your other crappy programs, which, if these shows are rating as good as you say they are, you don't need to tell me about them. Because I know. But here's the secret, CBS. I don't know, because your shows suck. They're terrible. They're all the same. They're awful. I would rather watch cows continuously poop in a field than watch any of those shows on CBS. It would be more entertaining
just
and be higher.
I don't know
it would be
you.
Higher brow TV. That stuff is the absolute lowest form of comedy and the lowest form of television writing, period. They
move
all
to a
are
residence
horrible.
A half a mile from where you live, and you can watch that nonstop.
And that this is why, Leland, at first I was bummed. Like, when we talked about that sports bundle, I was like, man, I wish CBS was involved so we could just get all the sports. You know what? Now I'm glad they're not, because I want them to go broke. I want them to get left out and all the other sports leagues to go, you know what? It actually doesn't make sense to go with you. And I want CBS to go out of business. Rely on your shows that rate number one in every category, apparently. Why don't you rely on those shows? Cut sports out and see how you do. I bet you don't have 60 million people watching. You're going to have zero people watching, because you know why? Because all the people that were falling asleep watching NFL football and the Masters will now be doing it on other networks. And so Tracker will have zero viewers, because even the people's parents don't watch that show. Like, that show sucks. And I got news for you. The people who are on that show, I hope they don't get another job. I hope people look at that and go, that show is so bad, you're unemployable. That's what I want. There needs to be consequences for doing bad TV.
Speaking of consequences, let's talk about OJ.
He
never really had a consequence, did he?
Well, there was the Las Vegas hotel room where he got
arrested. Yeah, but that was a different crime, and he did.
Well, but there were consequences. You said he didn't have consequences. There were consequences for that.
It seems like murdering people would require a consequence, but yeah. OJ has passed away. I didn't say anything inappropriate for like a solid 20 minutes after I heard the news.
Oh my gosh.
I held on that long. It's just the dude put himself out there after the fact of all these murders too. And so I don't really feel bad about, I guess it's disrespectful to the victims, so I guess I should. But I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't know. The first thing I thought is, ooh, news coverage of this is about to be interesting. Like, how all of this is framed. This is a person that had a lot of public life before anything super negative was out there about him. Then he had the bulk of the rest of his life was negative. They showed the best 30 for 30, one of the best 30 for 30s. I think it's the best, but I will acknowledge there's other good ones. So I won't just give it the only title. They showed the June 16th, 1994 documentary on ESPN that night. And it's so good. I hope people tried to catch it. If you didn't, go and watch it, because it is good. ESPN also created that multiple day, multiple part, huge O.J. Simpson documentary, which was good. I wouldn't
FX
actually
had a good one
sit
too.
Here.
Yeah.
Say it again.
The FX one, though.
The FX was a show. That wasn't a documentary. That was a drama. And that was entertaining. I actually would recommend that one, because that was like an 8 episode, and it's fast moving, and where they took their liberties were fun, but there was a lot of stuff where they didn't take liberties that were fun in that thing. Again, not trying to be disrespectful to victims. But I don't know. I'm glad that we're not going to see OJ Simpson in an interview ever again laughing about murdering people. And that's what really bothered me from him anytime I saw him publicly or on Twitter or anything. Anytime there was someone that they'd make that joke or poke around it, and OJ would have that nervous kind of laughter, but still laughter, it just drove me crazy. I'm glad we're never going to see that again. But we're also going to see, we're going to know more about all of it now, because no one's going to be out there trying to control this message from being truthful, I guess is what I will say. We've already seen how the estate is now going to fight the money that's still owed to the Goldman family. That's ridiculously and terrible, but we're already here. The negatives are already going to start pouring out because there's the main person behind trying to control that message is gone. So we're not done with OJ is really what I wanted to get to with this. People think he passed. That story's over. Now it's a reflection of how things changed. I think the OJ Simpson trial, that's when the news changed. I mean, the 24-hour, people say CNN started in 1980 or 1979, what it was, and that chart started the 24-hour news cycle. No, I really think it was the OJ Simpson started that 24-hour. It cranked it up, and news on news stations became so much more sensationalized than they had been before. And other news networks were created because of that trial and following along with that. Court TV and, headline news never had ratings until then, because people had to go to headline news to actually get some news, because CNN was showing the trial the whole afternoon. So it's just what that trial, them cutting into NBA Finals basketball to watch this OJ chase, and the reality of what was happening in that Bronco, it's just crazy. We're not done with all that. This is all I'm going to say. We're not done with all that, because I think we're going to start getting more information. People that wouldn't talk before are now going to talk. The message isn't going to be as controlled. I think that's what's ahead of us here. It'll come in drips. It won't just all be at once. But he has passed, and this isn't one of those moments, you know, we talk about other people passing. I'm not sad. I wish this guy would have been in prison for the rest of his life. I wish this guy would have died in prison. And I think it's a shame that he didn't. There you go. There's my morality for the night.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
You disagree?
I'm not disagreeing. I don't know.
He committed a crime that deserved to be in prison for the rest of his life.
I do. I do think he killed those people. And so that's why I think a lot of the things you say, I understand. Like, it's hard to feel sorry for somebody who I think got away with a double murder.
Right.
And there were a lot of uncomfortable moments where he's, you know, I mean, he tried to write a book called If I Did It. Like,
oh my God.
It's
just so many things.
Yeah.
I hate how he played, and they did a really good job on that long ESPN documentary. They really framed it well, how he just kind of rode where he needed to ride and really just always took the right paths to be shown in the best light or the favorable light for him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of race dynamics and cultural and wealth, yeah, all that. He played the card he needed to play at the right time, always. And it drives me nuts. And he played it to the max. I mean, getting away with murder is, I don't want to start listing out what's worse than that, but that's morality top of the up there. And he got away with it. It's just, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's not good. But like you said, I don't, I'm not sad. Like, I didn't shed a tear over it.
My goodness, no.
But, yeah, I hope the estate loses that case. I didn't know they were already trying to fight that. I was.
Yep.
I don't know how many more answers we're going to get, though. That was the only thing I'd push back on. I mean, the person with the answers died, so I don't know if we'll ever get that.
I would think there's a lot of answers out there. I think
there's stuff maybe that people hadn't spoken about, not involving that. Maybe other instances.
Well,
but,
maybe.
I don't know that we'll see.
I mean, you make a good point. All the evidence of him committing a murder is already there. It just didn't come together in trial.
Yeah, there were just there were 12 people in a courtroom that didn't think it was enough. And they might have been the only 12 people in America. But yeah. So to move transition. Hockey is winding down. The playoffs are almost here. The Caps won tonight in a game they really desperately needed to have. They beat Boston 2-0, which is great because they lost at Buffalo 4-2. Then they come back and have just some absolutely massive wins that they needed. I mean, had to have some of these wins down the stretch that they've gotten. And again, the win tonight against Boston, chief among them. That loss to Buffalo Thursday night, I thought, that's it. They're toast. They blew it. But they come back with a 4-2 win against Tampa Bay, which I was not expecting on Saturday. They win tonight against Boston. Tomorrow's it. If they beat Philadelphia, they're in. If they lose, they're out. It's as simple as that.
I really wanted Pittsburgh and Washington in, and that didn't come about.
I told you that was not going to happen. The Lightning are really good. The Red Wings will play the Canadiens.
Oh, but the Islanders is what I needed. I needed them out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
The Red Wings won in overtime tonight against the Canadiens. They're playing the Canadiens in Montreal tomorrow night. So they played them in Detroit tonight. They're going to Montreal tomorrow night. They'll play. A loss there could help the Caps. But the reason I say win and you're in, lose and you're out, the Penguins, they're playing at New York. And I do feel like they're probably going to beat the Islanders, who really have nothing to play for. The Islanders clinched tonight.
They did clinch, yeah.
Yeah, so they clinched tonight.
Sometimes I agree with you.
Yeah. I thought you were asking. And I was like, yes.
They nope. I'm looking at the standings. That's helping me. But yeah.
They won tonight 4-2 over the Predators. So they'll play not tomorrow night, but Wednesday night against the Islanders. That might be one of the few games going on Wednesday night. And then we'll know who's in the playoffs. They will be set. The West, it's set. It's Vegas and Nashville. They made it. LA is playing Minnesota right now. Minnesota has absolutely nothing to play for. And so that's wrapped up. The only thing that isn't known is are the Kings, the West is done. Yeah, are the Kings going to be the third team, or are they going to be a wild card? Yeah. That's up for grabs. I believe that's up for grabs. The Central Division's known. I mean, those teams were miles ahead of the competition this year.
Whoa. I thought only two wild cards made it in.
Yeah.
Well, everything on my standing says everything's locked, that the Blues are out.
Yes. The West, it's a question of, is a team going to get the third spot in the division, or are they going to be a wild card?
I got you. Kings. Sorry. I had to rewind my brain.
Yeah. Gotcha. The Central Division is donezo. That is 100% locked up. Those three teams are definitely going to be the top three teams out of the Central Division. They're too good.
Yeah. Gotcha.
All over 100 points. The race for the President's Cup is the New York Rangers. They won that tonight with a win over Ottawa. So they are the President's Cup trophy winners, the Biden Cup, if you will. Bad news, a team has not won that and made it past the second round in the last 8 years. So the President's Cup. It hasn't been the Biden Cup, except for the past like 3 years.
Anybody that would be offended by you calling it the Biden Cup isn't watching hockey anyway. So that's good.
It was the Trump Cup, you know, before that. and then the Obama Cup before that. I really wish they would do this. They don't. They just call it the President's Trophy.
I think, yeah, it doesn't, hockey's just not that upper echelon sport. If it was the NFL and it was called the President's Cup, it probably would.
They need to do it. It would just be so cool. Just call it the Biden Cup and the Trump Cup and the Obama Cup. Like, whoever the president is, it's that cup. Like, just do it. it's cool. Just do it. And I think it's actually after like the league president or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
But who cares about that person? And I know what Canadians are saying. We're in the league too. Okay, but you never win it, so it's not your league.
If you win it.
Yeah, if you win it, then the next year it's called the Prime Minister's Cup. How about that? And we'll call it the Trudeau Cup or whatever. I think he's still Prime Minister. Who knows?
Is he? I didn't think he was. I don't know who is.
I'll be honest.
I don't know.
I'll be honest. I am terrified of our politics enough. I try not to look at other people's anymore. Only if it's something really bad. But yeah, like I just the NHL playoffs are going to be exciting. I hope the Caps
still Trudeau.
See, I was right. I knew stuff. Trust your gut. I hope the Caps win tomorrow night. Get that needed win against Philadelphia. If they eliminate the Flyers, that's awesome because we're eliminating the Flyers, which is cool in itself because they're from Philadelphia. And then two, you know, to be in the playoffs would be awesome. Like then we play the Rangers and we can see what happens.
Hey, it's hockey though. It's hockey.
It is. The Stanley Cup playoffs is all about getting your goaltenders right at the hot time or getting your team hot at the right time. I'm not sure that's the Capitals. They haven't been great over the last 10. The Carolina Hurricanes.
Get that goalkeeper rolling.
Carolina Hurricanes have. New York Islanders haven't been bad recently. And then out west, I mean, whew, couple wagons out there. I mean, honestly, the West is wide open. There's a bunch of teams that could win that.
It's like the NBA, man.
Yeah.
I think it's deeper. The West is deeper in the NBA, too. So,
yeah.
I'm not digging the NBA. This play-in tournament kept the NBA season alive to the last day yesterday. I mean, there was so many games that had meaningfulness there. The NBA, I think, is just trying to figure out how they can get Golden State and the Lakers into the 8 teams.
They're going to have to get creative with math, I think.
Yeah, they will.
But in other hockey news, a team that's definitely not going to be in the playoffs and definitely probably not going to be in Arizona next year. The Coyotes. Every bit of news that comes
out of there. Can they go to Oakland and the A's can go there? Is that
every bit of news that comes out of there is bad. It appears they might be going to Salt Lake City. That is the latest.
Okay.
If they do, I hope they're not the Coyotes. Just change your name. I think that if you relocate, you should have to change your name. I think that should be a rule.
There's probably Coyotes in Utah.
Yeah, but I don't want them to be the Salt Lake City Coyotes. Be something different.
I mean, they had the Jazz. I mean, they have the Jazz in Utah.
Yeah, because no,
they
that's
New Orleans. They never
perfect
changed the
example.
Name. It would fit. It would fit if they changed it to even something stupider.
But that's a perfect example. Like, I don't think that should be allowed. Like the Oakland A's shouldn't be the Oakland A's. They were the Philadelphia Athletics and the Kansas City Athletics and then the Oakland Athletics. Now they're going to make their trip back east, I guess.
And then the Hornets got weird when the Hornets moved to New Orleans, and then the Hornets existed again. Like, oh, it was weird.
Yeah, then Charlotte got a team, but they had to be the Bobcats because the Hornets were still in New Orleans, and then they gave up that name and became the Pelicans, and then Charlotte dumped the name Bobcats, became the Hornets again. Just have the name and the colors be with that city. Like, just keep that there. Yeah. That's a larger point to say. The Coyotes then also had some great news.
So should the A's be something for 2 or 3 years when they're in Sacramento?
Yeah.
And then something else after that?
Absolutely. Be the Sacramento homeless or whatever.
Capitals.
Yeah, the Sacramento Wanderers, the Nomads. And then
Isotopes.
I think that's a minor league team in Albuquerque.
It was the Springfield Isotopes, or the Capital City Isotopes is what I was going for from The Simpsons.
Oh, well, it's the Albuquerque Isotopes in real life. That's a AAA team.
That's on the capital city, man.
But anyway, what I was going to say is the Coyotes, it turns out, have not been paying hotel bills either. So there were a large number of hotels that banded together and told the league, these guys got to pay up. They've been paying their bills.
Bishop Favreau. Yeah, Bishop... What was the academy, that fake academy? They wouldn't pay the hotels.
Anything? Bishop Sycamore
of the NHL.
It's wild. Like, it's been the whole year they haven't paid. Like, it's wild. That, I can't believe they made it this long without the hotels getting together and being like, where's the money? Like, yeah. So that's crazy. That's wild. That they're, I just don't think it's going to work. Like, it sucks that they're going to lose their team, but it wasn't that long ago. They had a decent team, but that was very short lived. And I just don't think hockey in Arizona is going to work. I'm not sure Utah is that much better, but it's better than Arizona, I gotta think.
Can I just correct myself before any people try to correct me? It was the Springfield Isotopes.
Yeah.
That makes more sense with the nuclear power plant. When he got risen up as the mascot to the capital city, it was the Capital City Capitals.
Great. Important correction. And then, you know, I've had a bad weekend, so now Jeff has to have a bad weekend. In soccer, it's just been all bad.
Then let's not talk about it.
No, we got to talk about it.
No one cares, really.
The title is going to be decided here soon, so we got to talk about it. But Liverpool has basically fallen flat on their face the past week. Like, they got knocked out. They're not officially out of the Europa League yet, but they're going to be because they lost 4-0 at home to Atalanta from Italy, so they're toast.
You jinxed them.
Then in the league,
you jinxed them. This is your fault.
They lose to Man United. Then we get the help we need when Arsenal loses to Aston Villa. So how do we celebrate?
What'd you call?
By losing to Crystal Palace. We can't have that. And Manchester City's just dog walking everybody they play, so they're fine. They're going to win the league again. That's the worst possible outcome of the whole thing. It's terrible. Sports are dumb.
I'm trying to find the tweet, and I guess it was a real tweet, wasn't it?
It was.
We're going to talk about the champs. The future champions will be discussed on April 7th. Your response.
We haven't won a game
Jeff
since.
Wright when he tried to save us from some soccer talk.
We haven't won a game since.
And since then, nothing.
We've lost everything.
You jinxed them. This is your fault.
I refuse to take responsibility for it.
I'm going to make sure the people of Liverpool know this was you.
I believed in that. That's my curse. That's my sin. I believed in Liverpool. They didn't believe in themselves. This is on them.
Well, when's your next game of ECU?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Big Tuesday for both of us. You get to go to VCU, call a baseball game. Hopefully you get another one of those lost to the night calls. That'd be awesome. I am going to travel to Buffalo Gap with all the kindergartners of Riverheads and enjoy a field trip in the morning. So it's quite the Tuesday we have planned, Joe. Maybe I'll catch up with you at some point.
What is the field trip?
I think we're going to look at cows. We're going to Buffalo Gap. It is like a FFA farm day thing.
Oh, okay.
My older kids have gone to it previously when they were in preschool. Actually, my mom has a picture of me on this field trip when I was in preschool. So this is a long-standing agricultural informative situation.
Okay.
This is the first field trip I've gone on in a little bit. It's basically because my wife couldn't take it anymore. Because the last field trip she went on, a bus broke down. And there was no air conditioning on the bus that everybody moved to. So it's my turn.
So, well, thank you to all the farmers out
there.
It's
going to be a fun Tuesday. Maybe I'll catch up with you, you know?
I don't know.
We should see each other. See how it goes. But for all our listeners that aren't going to see us tomorrow on our fun adventures to some of us Buffalo Gap, some of us the capital of Virginia, make sure you're listening to us and subscribe to us so you don't miss these fun conversations we have about soccer and murderers. Also, local high school sports news. What did you get?
Yeah, this is good news.
Did you see
the uniforms?
Me saying murderers remind you of?
Well, it came to me before when we were talking about fun conversations, like uniforms. Did you see the Jets uniforms?
No.
Oh, they're going old school. Like,
I thought they already were old.
No, no. Well, newer school than that, but like older than what they have now. It's like the 80s. Like the green with the Jets written on the helmet. The all green.
Okay.
They're bringing those back. They're bringing those back. I think they're just like alternates. I don't think it's like the full-time uniforms, which is a bit of a bummer. But then Jacksonville's apparently...
I'm looking at a whole layout.
Oh, if it's their
white,
official... I'd love it.
Green and black.
I'd love it. I don't think the helmet is white in any of them, but I know the black ones have
the
black
uniform,
helmet.
White?
Yeah.
And then black? The helmet's green and everything. And black in one.
Yeah, the black uniform is a black helmet, which I don't love. I'll say this again. Not every team needs to wear black. The Jets are in that. You don't need a black uniform if you're the Jets. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to go back to a throwback jersey as well. That was announced on Twitter. They haven't unveiled them yet, but they announced that they're going to be releasing the throwbacks here soon.
Until they get a uniform or a Jaguar on the sideline, it's just a waste of time.
Well, they have the stuffed one.
We need a real one.
The plush one. That feels pretty real to those kids that get stiff-armed by him in those clips I watch.
Get some twine with a collar on him. It'll be safe.
But
why is this website massive?
But I'm excited because I think those jerseys were awesome, the Jacksonville ones. If it's the ones I'm thinking they're going to, which is like when Fred Taylor was there and Mark Brunell, those uniforms were awesome. Those were some of the best uniforms in the league. And that's a team that can wear black, and those black uniforms.
They're just adding a classic throwback. They're just,
yes,
that's
they,
just gonna
that,
be
they're not going full time. Theirs is just a throwback. I think they need to go back to it. This new look is not good for them. You're watching the video for it now. That's not, you won't see
it. I clicked it, I muted it.
Yeah, you're not going to see anything. Yeah, you're not going to see anything in the video. That it was just an announcement that we've heard your feedback, we are doing it. Stay tuned. Like that kind of thing. It's a teaser, which I don't really love. A teaser for
no
a
wonder
uniform
this wasn't
announcement.
On our sheet.
But we're talking uniforms because we love uniforms. Some of us more than others.
So more uniform talk if you listen to us, as well as our great coverage of local high school sports that we like to do week after week. Although Shenandoah district season is heating up, so we'll continue talking about that. Make sure to tell your friends what we're doing. And you're subscribed on Podbean, Apple, and Spotify, and anywhere else you find podcasts. I think you can find us. Interact with us on social media at Yak Sports Pod on Twitter or Facebook. And we'll be back next week to talk more about the sports that you, the Augusta County sports fan, care about.
You've been listening to Yak Sports, your Augusta County sports podcast.